So let me invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We are currently in a sermon series considering the Bible's interesting people. And for our first one that we are looking at, it is Samuel. And we are zeroing in on his life and the things that are recorded of Samuel in the Word of God. So, quiz time. Samuel's name means, I heard it, but I, not really. You're partly right. Samuel means heard of God. Now, Hannah gave her son the name Samuel because she said the Lord had granted her petition in chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. But the name Samuel means heard of God. So she had requested a son. The Lord gave her a son. He heard her prayer. And so in light of that, then she called him Samuel, saying, I've asked him of the Lord. The Lord heard me. And so called his name heard of the Lord. The key chapter that we suggested to you for Samuel's life is chapter 3. Very good. That records, chapter 3 records God's call upon Samuel's young life. And in chapter 3, we find Samuel established in the place that he would hold in God's plan for the people of Israel. And we suggest to you that that's a key chapter because of the things that are said about him and the place that he's going to occupy within God's plan. If you look over in chapter 3 for just a second, I submit to you that a couple of verses are key in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the first one is verse 1. Which says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now this is coming to a conclusion of the days of the judges. The days of the judges were not very good days. People turned away from the people of Israel turned away from the Lord many, many times. He brought judges in to rescue them from enemies that had come to overthrow them and overtake them. But it was just a constant cycle. Remember the last verse in the book of Judges? Everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. There was no king in Israel back in that day. So we're right near the end of the period of the Judges. And because of the evil and wickedness of the people of God, God had stopped talking to them. Right? There was no word from the Lord. It was precious. It was rare. And there was no open vision. But now Samuel has come along. And in verse 7, we read this in chapter 3. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Very interesting statement. The Lord was calling Samuel into, remember those times Samuel heard his name being called, Samuel, and he went to Eli and said, what do you want? You called me? And eventually Eli twigged and said, well, next time you hear your name called, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And Eli realized that it was the Lord calling to Samuel in the night. And finally that third time, Samuel said, speak, for thy servant heareth, in verse 10. And then the last three verses of the chapter are key as well. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. God was speaking to his people once again, and this time it was coming through Samuel. Now, last week we turned our attention to the birth of Samuel and the events surrounding all of that from chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. And just to summarize all that we had looked at there, we note that Hannah was one of two wives to a man by the name of Elkanah. Hannah had no children, but the other wife had many, or at least had some. We're told in verse 5 that the Lord had shut up the womb of Hannah. She could not have children. And the other wife, because she did have some, provoked Hannah, causing Hannah to weep when they went to the house of God in Shiloh. Shiloh was the place where the tabernacle had been set up, where Eli the priest served, and Elkanah and his family went to worship there every year to offer the sacrifices that they were supposed to do. In this year that's recorded for us in for Samuel 1, Hannah had come to the tabernacle to pray. She was upset. She had been taunted by Penina, the other wife, and so she went to the tabernacle to pray and to lay out her complaint before the Lord. That's verses 10 and 11 in the first chapter. Remember, Eli saw her, was watching her, and her lips were moving, but nothing was heard, no sound was coming, and he thought she was drunk. And so he rebuked her for being drunk. He misunderstood what he saw with Hannah. And so when Hannah explained her situation and what she was doing, then Eli blessed her and said, verse 17, Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." So we're told that after this, Hannah went away happy. She was no more sad. And she even went and had something to eat, because beforehand she wasn't eating. And so her situation had changed, no more sad. And then when they got back home, back to Ramah where they lived, we're told that Elkanah knew his wife. We're told that the Lord remembered Hannah and obviously opened her womb, because he had shut it beforehand. He obviously opened it. She conceived the son that she had asked the Lord for. Because remember, she was quite specific, right? She wanted a male child. A male child, that's what she asked of the Lord. And so she conceived the son that she had asked the Lord for. She called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." So the Lord heard her petition, right? He answered her request and granted that she should conceive a son. And how awesome is that? This is what God does, doesn't he? When we pray and we come before him with our petitions and our concerns and the burdens that we have in our hearts, if we ask according to his will, New Testament says, he will hear us and he will grant that which he have asked, as long as it's in keeping with his will for us. And so that's what God does. And he blessed Hannah so incredibly by allowing her to conceive this son. Now, in chapter 1, verse 11, Hannah had made a vow. Right? Look at verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." So that was her vow. Well, the Lord answered her prayer, gave her Samuel. So the question is, did Hannah fulfill her vow that she had made? You know, sometimes we make these vows in the heat of the moment or in the desperation of our soul, and after some time, maybe we forget about what we had said to the Lord. You should never do that. In the scriptures, the Lord said that let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Anything else above that is a sin. So just, if we're asked to do something or if we say we're going to do something, just do it. That's all you need to keep in mind. Just do that. And so Hannah makes this vow. And we ask the question, well, does she keep her vow, does she fulfill it? So let's take a look at the rest of the story here in chapter 1. A couple of things to note. Number one, Hannah weans Samuel after he was born. That's verse 21 to 23. Hannah weans Samuel after he was born. Apparently, commentators and others have said, Hebrew women would wean their children until they were 2 or 3 years old. Right? 2 or 3 years old. So it would be expected that Hannah cared for her son, gave him proper nourishment, as only a mom can, gave him care and love for all those years of his early childhood. This was of such importance to Hannah, Samuel's proper weaning, that she did not go up to Shiloh at the time when the family would go once a year. And so for the first few years, she stayed home so that she might focus on Samuel and his weaning. What does that tell us about Hannah? She was a careful mother, a doting mother perhaps, but also understood that if she was going to give her son to the Lord, then she needed to have him fully prepared for that time when she would leave him with Eli. And so she took the time necessary to wean him. And I like that about Hannah. Can you imagine if the Lord blessed her with her son, Samuel, and then the next time they were going to Shiloh, she would take him and leave him as a baby with Eli the priest that was down there? That would be really hard to conceive for any mother or any one of us as we think about the needs of a little baby. And so Hannah cared for her son. She weaned him after he was born. And that's verse 21 to 23. You can scan through those verses to see more details that are said. Second thing to note is that Hannah then takes Samuel to the house of the Lord. Hannah takes Samuel to the house of the Lord. That's verse 24 and 25 of chapter 1. So it says in verse 24, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine. Those were items of the sacrifice that they were going to offer for the wonderful gift of this son that they had. And she brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. We suspect that Samuel was about 3 years old. He was just a toddler. Do you remember back when your kids were 3 years old? Could you ever think of taking them to the house of the Lord where this old guy named Eli is the priest there and looking after the tabernacle, and you're going to leave your toddler with this guy? But that was the vow that Hannah made. And so the child was young. They slew the bullock, verse 25, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, before we get to that, they slew and brought the child to Eli. So Samuel's probably about 3 years old when Hannah takes him to Shiloh in the tabernacle to the house of the Lord. This is the fulfillment of her vow that she had made when she asked the Lord for a son, and the time had now arrived for her to fulfill that vow. So far, so good, right? She's taken care of her son and now has brought him to the house of the Lord. And we're told in verse 25 that they brought the sacrifice, they killed the bullock, and then presented the child to Samuel, to Eli. This kind of reminds me of young Timothy's life and situation. You know Timothy in the New Testament? In 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, Paul remarks that Timothy had learned the scriptures from an early age through his mother and through his grandmother. And because of their training of him as just a young child, he became wise in the scriptures, even to knowing that the scriptures were the point of his salvation, make him wise unto salvation. And thank the Lord for godly moms and grandmoms who teach children when they're still young about the things of the Lord. And that is a good foundation for children, even toddlers, to have. Remember, we listened to a song a couple weeks ago. Well, I choose to be a Christian. And part of the words were, I knew the scriptures, I heard the scriptures before I even learned to read. And that can only come from moms and dads and them reading and teaching the scriptures to their young children. And what a great project and focus that is for families. So Hannah brings Samuel, probably 3 years old-ish, and brings him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. Thirdly, note, Hannah recalls her vow to Eli in verse 26 to 28. She recalls her vow. I don't know if Eli remembered her. It's been 3 years at least since she was there and had that conversation with him. Maybe he forgot. Anyway, she reminds him about the time that she was there several years earlier. In verse 26, she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. Notice that she carefully left out the fact that he thought that she was drunk and all of that. She didn't mention that. But I'm the woman that was here praying to the Lord. And verse 27, for this child. Here's the evidence of God's answer to her prayer. Little Samuel standing there by his mom. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he, that would be Samuel, worshipped the Lord there. So it's been a few years since Hannah has been in Shiloh, and she takes time to remind Eli about who she is, what she had prayed about, and here's the evidence of the answer to her prayer in young little Samuel. Can you even try and imagine what this must have been like for Hannah? To think that 3 years or so earlier, she had been in that very place praying for a man-child of the Lord. She was desperate, it would seem, at that time. I am the woman that stood here praying unto the Lord, she says, and for this child I prayed. I can almost see her pointing at Samuel. This child here is the one I have prayed for. Look, here he is. The Lord has given me my petition, which I have asked of him. So Hannah properly acknowledges God's answer to her very specific prayer. Right? She was very specific about what she wanted. She didn't want just a child. She wanted a man-child. She wanted a son that she could have. Hannah acknowledges God's answer to her very specific prayer. May I say at this point, when you pray, you can be specific with your petitions to the Lord. And perhaps from time to time, we ought to move in that direction, ought to take that route of being specific with the Lord, specific with our petitions. Now, this is not to say that we are not to pray generally in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. Yes, that's all part of it. But there are times when maybe there are things heavy on our heart, we're burdened about something, and we can ask the Lord specifically for some answer to meet that particular need. Don't be afraid to not do that. You can be specific with the Lord. I mean, he knows what our needs are anyways, but I think the Lord loves us to come to him, just as a father with a son, and bring our specific requests before him so that he could meet that need. Remember in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hear the word prayer, in everything by prayer. This word prayer is the general term for just talking to the Lord. right? Just you're praying to the Lord. You're maybe thanking him for blessings. You're confessing sin. You're giving praise to his name for who he is, and honoring and worshiping him. But then Paul uses this word supplication. A supplication is a word that's more focused on a specific request and need that we might have. And so we're to be people of prayer, obviously, making that connection. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, pray without ceasing, right? Pray without ceasing. So we live in that manner as Christians of keeping close contacts and conversation with the Lord our God. But there are times when some specific things get laid heavy upon our heart. And we can also then come to the Lord with specific requests, a supplication to the Lord about that. But notice that it's supplication with thanksgiving. So with specific requests in particular, we need to be careful and assured that we will thank the Lord. Maybe even when we make the request, we can say thank you to him, maybe expecting that he will answer it in his time and according to his will. But certainly the thanksgiving is such that the Lord hears our particular prayers and the concerns that we have heavy on our heart. There is a place for just talking to the Lord in praise and worship and confession, but there's also a place for specific prayer requests as well. And just be sure that when we are making specific requests that we give the Lord thanks for hearing us and for answering that prayer. And what's the result of that? The peace of God. It's beyond all of our understanding. It'll keep your heart and mind. It'll give you peace in your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, but that's just plain awesome. What God provides for us through this avenue of prayer. General prayer, specific requests, and his peace is always available and ready to be poured out into our lives. It'll keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. All of it through our Savior. So God answered this specific request of Hannah for a man child. And she's talking to Eli and saying, I'm the woman that was here a few years ago and praying for the Lord's help. And here's the answer. Here's the little guy that the Lord blessed me with. Here is Samuel. And now in verse 28, we find Hannah fulfilling her vow. She now fulfills her vow. Notice in verse 28, therefore, in light of all that she said, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. Now, I know what's going through your mind when you hear the word lend or lent. That Hannah is just saying, here, you look after Samuel for a little while, and then I'll come and take him back. You know, that's what we say in terms of lending. The Hebrew word for lent here is sha'al. Sha'al. And, of course, with every Hebrew word that we have in the Old Testament, there's a variety of meanings attached to the Hebrew word. Anything from to ask or inquire to, in some places, it means to borrow or to beg or to seek. But in this particular form of the Hebrew word here in this verse, it has the meaning of to grant or to make over to, as one lexicon put it, to grant. And so in Hannah's mind and in the terms that are used of what she was doing with Samuel, she was giving him to the Lord, granting him to the service of the Lord for whatever the Lord would have for him. She's not just simply lending him for, you know, some period of time. She's giving her son to the Lord as she had vowed that she would do when she made her prayer request. She was not lending Samuel to the Lord, as we might understand the word used today. She was granting her son to the Lord for his use and his service permanently. What does it say? As long as he liveth. Now, here's Samuel. He's a three-year-old. Probably doesn't get what's going on with what his mom's doing. But she is granting this little guy that the Lord had blessed her with back to the Lord for his use permanently for as long as the child would live. She was giving up Samuel to the Lord. And we've done that in a fashion when our kids were little and we would dedicate them to the Lord. We weren't doing the Catholic version of baptism of children or anything, but it was important for us as Christian moms and dads to have our children dedicated to the Lord, that we would promise to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We would take care of them as the Lord would have us to do. And just to have that awareness in our own hearts and lives that our kids were important to us, but important to the Lord as well. And we wanted the Lord's hand in all of our training of the children. I think that's still a pretty good thing to do. We've had a few children dedication to the Lord over the years. I remember when the Andersons were here, and we dedicated all four of their children. They were grown, the three of them, and then there was the little guy. But that was kind of a nice time. So Hannah is giving up Samuel to the Lord to serve in the house of the Lord for as long as Samuel would live. How hard do you think that would be, Mom? I'm a guy, and I think it would be pretty hard for that. But Hannah was committed to the thing that she had promised to the Lord, and she is following through on that. He's 3 years old, perhaps, about 3 years old, as far as we can surmise. How much strength of character and resolve would Hannah have to have in order to do this? How much trust in the Lord does she have in order to be able to do this? I think it's incredible, her trust in the Lord to be able to leave her son with this old man Eli, the priest here in the tabernacle in Shiloh. And I don't know about you, but I just have to wonder what was going through her mind on this day as she was giving her son to the Lord. Well, God answered her prayer for a son, and now she was giving her son back to the Lord for his service. Now, granted, she would see him once a year anyways, because the family always went up yearly for the sacrifice, and so she would see him at least once a year and probably go ooh and ah and wow and see all the changes in his stature from year to year and how he was grown. But she had vowed a vow, and to her credit, she fulfilled that vow. And I think with great trust and faith in the Lord that he would look after her son. Number four, notice Hannah's prayer in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. this is a great prayer. Hannah really was no slouch when it came to theology and doctrine how to honor the Lord in her prayer. This is a great prayer. It's almost akin to Mary's prayer after she was told she was going to give birth to the Lord Jesus, who would save his people from their sins. So verses 1 through 10 is the record of her prayer. And you can just quickly scan over those verses. We've already read it earlier. But notice a couple of things as you do that. Verse 2 is an incredible testimony that comes from the lips of Hannah. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. If you want a verse to memorize, there's one right there, 1 Samuel 2:2. That's a great verse to commit to memory. There's none holy as the Lord, and it's all capital letters, that's the Hebrew word Jehovah. There's none beside thee. There's no other God beside the Lord God Jehovah. Neither is there any rock like our God. That foundation ground stone, the Petra, if you want, in the Greek text. It's quite a testimony, don't you think? She had a really good understanding about who the Lord was and is able to make a statement such as that. Throughout this prayer, in the first 10 verses, Hannah acknowledges the work of the Lord in a whole variety of life's experiences. She makes statements that bring honor to the power and to the will of God. Look at, for example, verse 5. They that were full have hired themselves out for bread. They that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord kills and he makes alive. He brings down to the grave. He brings up. He makes poor. He makes rich. He brings low. He lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust. This is all evidence of the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the will of God in all of life's nature and things that we go through. She recognizes that the Lord is involved in a whole variety of experiences that we have, and not least of which is her own in granting her request with a son. Look at verse 5 once again. The second part says, so that the barren hath borne 7. What was Hannah's state before God granted her request for a son? She was barren. And she says, the barren hath borne 7. Is she talking about herself there at that point? I don't think she had 7 children since Samuel came along. That would be quite a thing. It's only been 3 years. I don't know. Can you have 7 kids in 3 years from one woman? I don't think so. But rather, I think she's being hopeful. She was once barren, but she's looking forward to having 7 more. And then she says, she that hath many children, who might that be alluding to? Penina, right? Who had lots of kids. And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. So it sounds like if that is, of course, is what she is meaning here by God blessing her in her life, going to give her 7 kids. And what do we know about the number 7? Perfection, completion, right? So she's looking forward to that. And Penina, she stopped having kids, can no longer taunt her rival in the home. So it's kind of an interesting statement that she makes there. If what we think she's saying is so, I don't know for sure. Down in verse 10, she talks about the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces out of heaven. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. And notice this. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. The days in which Samuel was born were the last days of the judges. And what's interesting is that Samuel will be used of the Lord a little longer later in his life to anoint the first king in Israel. At this point in time, there is no king. There's no thought of a king at this point in time. And yet in Hannah's prayer, she's kind of, I think, looking down the road a little bit, maybe even prophetic, to say that in the work of the Lord, and I'm sure that she has Samuel in mind, the Lord's going to thunder. He shall judge the ends of the earth. And we will see that Samuel was the last of the judges in Israel. And he shall give strength unto his king, which is yet to come down the road, and exalt the horn of his anointed. Not sure exactly what we can take from that last phrase, exalt the horn of his anointed. Perhaps she has in mind what Samuel's role is going to be in all of this, right? Samuel was the one who anointed Saul to be king in Israel, and then later on anointed David to take the throne in Israel. And perhaps in all of this, she sees God's use of Samuel in this instance, in the life of Israel at this time, of bringing an end to the days of the judges, bringing the king in and exalting the horn of his anointed. So his anointed could be the king that Samuel's going to anoint, or it might even be Samuel himself, as God has, in a sense, anointed him to this and called him to the task that he is to take care of. Very interesting things that she mentions here in her prayer. It's quite a prayer, isn't it? It's quite a prayer. And be worth taking some more time to delve into it, but our time's gone, so we won't. But I will say this, Hannah is no slouch when it comes to praying. Right? She knows how to pray. So little Samuel is left in Shiloh with Eli. We know that, according to verse 4, that the child was young, and so we understand that basically a toddler. And she leaves him in Shiloh, in the house of the Lord, with Eli. And the last word that we have at this point in time in verse 11 is that the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Notice, he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. So kind of under the tutelage or authority of Eli is, I think, the sense that is being given here. Hannah fulfilled her vow. Samuel is granted to the Lord for as long as he lives. And Samuel begins to minister to the Lord, even at that young age, in Shiloh, under the careful tutelage of Eli, it would seem. So what do we learn here out of this particular instance in the life of Hannah and Samuel? Here's a couple of things. Number one, if you make a vow to the Lord, be sure you fulfill it. Don't renege on that. It will not be good for you. But as we mentioned, we rather than making a vow, you should just let your yea be yea, your nay be nay, and just do what you say you're going to do. I think we also learn that we can be specific in our prayer requests before the Lord, as Hannah was quite specific in what she asked for. And we can do that, especially as burdens are laid on our hearts and situations that come across and we're just so anxious for them. We can be specific in prayer requests. And then thirdly, be sure to thank and honor the Lord for answering your prayer. Never forget to thank the Lord for answers to prayer. It just ought to be a natural part of our relationship with him to thank and honor him for his answers. And I think lastly, we can trust the Lord with our kids. Granted, we don't have any little ones at home anymore. My kid is now 42 years old with kids of his own. But I still trust the Lord with our kids and then our grandkids that come along. I don't think they will ever get too old to not be our kids for mom and dad. And we can trust the Lord with our kids. And I hope that you are able to do that as well. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for just an opportunity to dig into your word a little bit this evening. Thank you so much for Hannah. Just the character of her life is incredible, and her understanding of who you are and through this prayer that she has made in chapter 2 is just awesome. And we thank you for recording all of this incident in the Bibles for us, that we might learn from it, that we might be encouraged in our own praying, in our own trust of you, in our own specific requests, as we trust our own children to your care and to your keeping as well, and to your service as well. We thank you that Hannah is a wonderful example for us even today of trusting you and serving you with her very life and being. And we ask that you help us to carefully ponder the things that you have said to us in our word, in your word, and that we'll keep it close to our hearts and minds in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.